Good evening, one and all. My name's Graham Blackburn, and welcome once more to the Naked Football Show. In the light of this week's takeover confirmation, we welcome back to the show Ipswich Town Trust Chairman Carl Day.
Good evening.
And long overdue, we welcome our first female onto the show. And she is Trust Committee Member Jane Summerfield.
Good evening.
And as usual, making our trio tonight is Those Were the Days, Phil Ham.
Hello.
So subjects tonight will include last night's game at Bristol, very, very briefly, hopefully. The takeover and what it means to town, and with Jim looking to bring in only three players in January, who would you like to see, and do you actually think that's enough? So, as usual, email in with your thoughts to studio@icrfm.co.uk or text us on the usual number 07973 851968. And before I get to Phil and to give us the lowdown on the game, a big shout to all you guys who went last night. Over 1,000 for a midweek game that far from home, I think, is actually quite amazing. So well done to all of you. So, Phil, I'll give you just 10 seconds to get through the Bristol game and then we'll move on.
Well, we gave them a goal really early on. I think that when you're a side that's got a kind of bit of a mental problem with away games, that's the worst thing you can do. Then we gave away a penalty, which, you know, probably is one of those ones that referees tend to give ball to hand, but still penalty. Played well second half, but we just couldn't score. It's clearly a result of mental block. We need the ball to go in off someone's backside or get a late penalty or someone to be sent off for the opposition and something just to kind of break for us away, and that'll be it. Was that 10 seconds?
That'll do, I think. Right, all go home. Right, actually, this can go to either Carl or Joan. I'll put this to Carl. I'll just read out. I've got an email here from Matthew Smith. I've read through the EGM packet and I've had a few questions I hope you could clarify. If Marcus Evans, which is MEI, is purchasing the £32 million debt for a reduced £8 million, then it's fair to assume that the intra-debt amount becomes the reduced paid amount, i.e. £8 million. That's the question mark. Wouldn't this also mean that there wasn't simply a transfer of the debt but a wholesale reduction by £24 million? And if MEI ever attempted to sell the club, they would have to sell whatever amount... I hope you're enjoying this, because I can't understand it. They would have to sell whatever amount of the debt, at most £8 million, still existed along with their shares, meaning MEI simply couldn't demand repayment of the debt by the club. I'll keep going. Newspaper headlines seem to call this a £44 million takeover, but in reality, if I'm reading the details correctly, it's approximately a £20 million takeover, which is £12 million cash up front, plus the reported £8 million to purchase the debt. So the remaining £24 million has simply been expunged. Now, Carl, you can take that, because I have no idea what it's all about.
Well, actually, I've asked the club directly on this, and from my understanding of it, the £32 million is still outstanding, but now owed to Marcus Evans. The fact that he may have purchased it at a lesser amount is his good fortune. My understanding is the club won't have to repay the debt unless they can afford it, i.e. in the Premiership. But another question that we're trying to get an answer for is, with the outstanding amount, is there interest being applied? Because I've asked the club directly and they wouldn't actually say either way, which makes it a little bit suspicious for me. But in fact, it's from my understanding, the £32 million is still outstanding but owned to Marcus Evans Group now.
Right, do you want to actually sort of explain to us lay people exactly what the whole thing means, the whole, well, not just this letter, but the whole...
My understanding is there's obviously a debt owed by the club. He has bought that debt at a reduced amount, potentially 20 pence in the pound. But that debt is still owed, and it's now owed to the Marcus Evans Group. Now, I've actually asked the club directly, is it a reduced debt now, or is it a dissolved debt? And I'm led to believe, and I'm still trying to push for confirmations from the club, that the full current debt is still owed to the Marcus Evans Group. It's almost like if Phil owes me £10, someone has given me £4.50 for it, but Phil still owns the person that's given me the £4.50, that £10. And it's basically that scenario. What I do understand is there has been agreements that none of that debt gets repaid unless the club can afford to do so, which is really being in the Premiership and with the monies that were in there. One of the areas that we're trying to get clarification on is there interest applied to that debt while Marcus Evans Group holds it? And again, at the moment, the club won't give me a straight answer on that, so I'm hoping to use the EGM to ask for the clarification on that.
Jane, do you want to have a few words? What's your take on all this? And are you happy with it?
I think the thing to remember is that corporate debt is a tradable commodity. And in the ordinary business world, debt is bought and sold. We've heard a lot about it recently with the subprime mortgages, for example. So it's perfectly possible that this debt still exists in its 32 million form, and that we could be asked to pay interest on 32 million at the rate previously being applied, which I think was about 8%. But you buy that debt for 8 million, therefore your interest return becomes four times the notional rate on the 32 million. I don't think that's happening in this case. I think Marcus Evans is either deferring the interest or charging us less. It's a bit like a holiday from your mortgage repayment, to be honest, which doesn't overnight make you rich, but it means your cash flow is vastly improved. And I suspect that's what's happening here. But it looks as if, and particularly from what Carl has said, that the 32 million does still exist, and that in itself is a tradable commodity.
Well, I mean, I was at press conference on the press briefing, as it was termed, on Monday, and that was one area that they really didn't want to get into.
No,
what are the terms of repayments, or what is the terms of the debt,
exactly.
And the arrangement that Marcus Evans has made with Norwich Union and Barclays regarding it. Now, the situation with Town repaying the debt to Marcus Evans, obviously they said yes, that is something that would ultimately happen, but only in a situation where Town were in the Premiership.
Mm.
Now, when you look at the figures with regard to £32 million and whatever, presumably it's not going to be something that's going to be repayable over a couple of years, because if we're looking at Marcus Evans' main motivation for this being, or a large motivation for this being, a kind of profit-making exercise, causing the club to be hamstrung by making ridiculous repayments on a debt that he sees is entirely against the plan. So I would guess that the terms of the repayment would be over a significant number of years while the club is in the Premiership.
And let's bear in mind that he has bought the debt, which then becomes a trading expense to his company or companies.
Yep.
So he's not paying corporation tax on a lump of profits. So in fact, he's got a further discount. He's not even really paid $8 million for it. He's paid that less the corporation tax he would have paid on that money. So he's offsetting, I suspect, a loss against a profit elsewhere in his group.
Well, I mean, I don't want to mislead. I mean, the deal is a very good deal for the club, but it's also a very good deal for the Marcus Evans Corporation.
Yeah. Which I think explains why it is now said that he came to us. I think his people identified us for various reasons, one of which is that it's a reasonably well-run club, which has worked within very strict credit controls now for two or three years. The ship is in order. I think it looks attractive to a purchaser such as Marcus Evans.
I mean, I think the thing you have to look at with Town, or any club of a similar size to Town, the infrastructure at Town is there for a Premiership club, and quite a number of others now. I mean, Southampton's been mentioned as another club that perhaps he spoke to. And there's a number of clubs that it's all there, sort of thing. It just needs the kind of immediate cash injection to get the club into the Premiership, and whereby the club is then worth a significantly large amount more to.
And it doesn't need a whole new team. It needs a bit of tinkering around the edges.
Yeah.
It just needs a little bit of fuel injection. You're not rebuilding the whole engine here, are you?
No.
What the shareholders have got to take into account is they're potentially voting to dilute their own shareholding, to hand over the ownership to an individual. That is, the club is still owing the same sort of money they were this time last year. So, I mean, they're the sort of things you've got to take into account. But what it does do, it gives us the potential with the influx of the investment into the squad, as well as the club as a whole, a good chance of getting the Premiership to improve things. But, you know, it's almost in a way like saying turkey's voting for Christmas, because the shareholders will have their shareholding diluted down. And that has to be taken into account, because once that's gone through, in all fairness, Marcus Evans could do what he likes with the club, because there's only going to be a 12.5% voting against that, any options that he wanted to do. So that has to be taken into account. I do understand that the structure of the new board will have three of our existing directors, as in David Sheepshanks, Kevin Beeston and Derek Bowden, and there'll be three of Marcus Evans' representatives, and I believe that Marcus Evans will have the casting vote. So in all fairness, if there's anything that's controversial, I think the Evans side are going to win it.
Yes. I mean, coming back to the existing shareholders, the shares are worth currently nothing.
Anyone who bought a share at North Energies, they did it for the love of the club and to support the club in a time of absolute need. And every person that put their hand in the pocket should be thanked thoroughly. Now the value of the shares is down to 25 pence. 15 months ago, they were £20.
But only notionally, I mean, you know, you no one was going to buy the shares because they're a fantastic investment. People were buying the shares simply because, as you say, for the love of the club. Whereas actually the shares, presumably, if the club was in the Premiership and stayed there for, what, 5, 6, 7 years, the value of the shares would probably be significantly more, would it not?
Yeah, but again, I'll repeat, I didn't buy my shares to get a return on. I bought my shares.
No, I'm just sort of...
But in theory, there is a possibility there is a slight return now where there would never have been.
Mm. Can I dive in here? Because we've got a fair few emails. This one's to Carl in particular. Seeing as you have Carl in the studio, I'd like to ask him where this leaves the Trust in their quest to get a member of the Trust onto the board. With the ownership being restructured, there will be changes at board level. Surely this is an ideal time for the Trust to lobby for this. That's from Blue Az.
Obviously it's an opportunity. The Trust is one of its key objectives was obviously to have a supporter representation on the board. As the board got very upset when we first motioned it, they all said that they were supporters. But the idea we wanted someone that is elected by the supporters onto the board and stands for re-election by the supporters, and we'll still campaign for that. I think it would be interesting because it's now more important for shareholders now to rally together to have any voice at all. So I would hope that the Supporters Trust could be that focal point.
It will depend, I think, if Marcus wants to involve the community, if he's interested, if his PR people believe that it would be nice to have some supporter representation, he could do it at a stroke. He could make it happen tomorrow.
That's a very, very good point. I mean, Ipswich Town are a community club, and ironically, we would be voting for the club to become almost a non-community club or a small part of the community, and hopefully he will recognise that and see that as a good opportunity to open it up to the community. I agree with that. It's a good point.
What is the point of the PLC now? Because the PLC is going to be effectively 12.5% of the club, which will be all the existing shareholders, and it will have no real power, and yet we'll have a board which is, what, 12 strong or something?
Yeah, it's nearly as big as our attendance is. Basically, talking to Derek briefly on the phone on Monday evening, he sort of said, well, actually, in all fairness, you want the supporter representation on the board. Technically, the three directors will become their supporter representation. And
That is missing the point. The point of the elected supporter representation was that he's elected by supporters.
Agreed.
I suppose you could argue that David Sheepshanks and Kevin Beeston are elected by shareholders, but they're appointed to represent supporters, but to be kind of board members in the kind of normal traditional way, rather than perhaps you've got elected supporter representation at lots of clubs, including Charlton, who are playing at the weekend. I can see his point in a way, though, that it's a continuation of the historical side of the club, the culture of the club in a way. And I would guess that, I don't know, given that Marcus Evans apparently likes small boards, I would guess that elected supporter representation is probably not something that was likely to happen on the club board in the...
I don't think it's high on his agenda at the moment,
No. Morning,
yes, right. This one's from Alan Cooper. He's way over there in the States. He's coming over for the Leicester game on Tuesday.
Home game, he might see him win.
and a little dig at the old git, a pleasant dig, but I know it's part of old Dick's lovable charm to be utterly silly, but I wonder if you might rein in his and others' optimism. I almost wrote in a few weeks ago when people were taking promotion as a given with the takeover money. Last week the conversation became about how we should cope with the Champions League stadium. Please can we have a little humility and sense? I fear the world will soon be laughing at us for our presumption. And he goes on, perhaps the panellists could talk about what the limits of their optimism are. In the changed footballing universe, Town will surely never recapture old glories. So what is the most we can hope for? Sporadic European qualification, a domestic cup, solid premiership status, or just being a yo-yo club, solid championship survival, or just staying in existence at all? What do the panellists dream of seeing happen in their lifetimes?
I reckon
I'm just going to say, because he'll be listening on the podcast in Philadelphia tomorrow. That's why I thought I'd mention it, so he can actually listen to himself listening to the podcast tomorrow in Philadelphia. Carry on.
I didn't get any of that. I could see us getting back into it. Yeah, he's told us not to get our expectations sort of too quickly, and then asked us what he says is our realistic expectations. Yeah. I could see us getting in the UEFA Cup again eventually. I mean, obviously you've got to look at the first hurdle, with the first hurdle is getting promoted. And I think that, you know, this is where you come to the sort of strategy, Jim's strategy for January, really, and what he wants to do about bringing players in and strengthening the squad. Obviously, he isn't going to do a George Burley and upset the balance of what seems to be a very happy and kind of progressive dressing room. And the idea of bringing in two or three players to sort of augment the squad that he's already got seems very much to be something that he holds dear, having experienced the situation that happened in 2001. And indeed, I think he was one of the players who was kind of cast aside when all that happened. But, you know, bearing in mind, we're getting the Premiership, let's say, obviously we're not taking anything for granted here. You could easily see us with a bit of investment making it into the kind of UEFA Cup places, which, you know, you look at clubs now, Middlesbrough 2 or 3 years ago, they did that. Bolton are playing there this year, and I don't think that potentially they're clubs that are bigger than us. I think our home attendance is actually bigger than both theirs at the moment. And with Mr. Evans' money behind us, I see no reason why we can't replicate that. Obviously, old Git was being a bit facetious, I think, the other day, when he was suggesting that Champions League football's not out of the question. But I think we're more likely, you know, to scrape into the UEFA Cup once or twice, as we've done in the past.
My opinion is millions doesn't necessarily equate to promotion. What money? 12 million does seem a lot, but some of it's going to go into other parts of the club. A lot of it's going to go against salaries, so it doesn't guarantee a promotion. I would hope within the next season or two we would get promotion. And I'd like to see us secure our position in the Premiership. I think higher than that, I think we would need certainly a big influx of money. And while we're paying the debt off, I don't think there'll be that huge influx of money. I think there'll be enough around to keep us in the Premier. But my concern is everyone's, as you said, everyone's assumed it's it's promotion already now. And in all fairness, you can spend some money on some players, and if they don't gel, and it goes pear shaped, then the pressure then gets on Jim, and everything then goes in a downward spiral, and that's my biggest concern. But I would hope that it's getting with the next couple of seasons. There was a good article in the Those Are the Days where the guys justified why he didn't want Ipswich to get promoted, and he made a reasonably good case about Ipswich got promoted before and stayed in the Premiership and finished so well in that first season because that team was built over 2 or 3 years. If we got promoted this season, I personally don't think we're strong enough unless massive investment goes into the side to stay up.
I mean, I think, the 12 million is going straight into the team and wages, and not going anywhere else. That's sort of one of the guarantees that's been made, right, apparently. The other thing with the debt, I just don't see the logic of, from Marcus Evans' perspective or the chairman's perspective or Derek's perspective of organising the situation with the debt to hamper the on-field progress. Anyway, Jane, you're right.
No, I don't think he will do that. I think he will meter the interest payments depending on what's happening on the pitch and other issues. I do feel that Jim Magilton will suddenly come under a great deal of pressure now. Up until this point, he's an ex-player. We all love him. He's emotional. He's animated. And he's working with really very little, to be perfectly honest. And, of course, everything's a bonus at this stage. Where we are in the league, everything that's happened, apart from the away performances, we're just pleased with anything. And we've got used to being pleased with nothing, to be perfectly honest. We are now in a position, if we don't get promoted this season, will Jim Magilton's job be on the line?
Well, I can answer that because Derek Bowden did tell me quite categorically that Marcus Evans was key to insisting on them extending Jim's contract.
Isn't that the kiss of death, though?
Well, very true. But Marcus Evans was key to secure Jim in the long term.
Because at the moment, he would appear to be the ideal man.
I would say he's definitely got this or next season, but after that, then there could be questions.
Because he's going to have money to spend, he'll be judged on how he spends that money as opposed to making do with
money. Yeah, I think that's right. I think I can see the logic of that. But, you know, any manager's only going to be given a couple of years to sort of make progress. And when you've got a lot of money, you know, you saw the teams like Wolves and Derby in the end of the 90s, when they probably had more money than any other team, that they can't constantly fail, and every 2 years we're changing their manager. I mean, I think Jim will do quite well as long as he I mean, we all said this about George, didn't we? As soon as he had money to spend, he'd do a fantastic job. Well, as soon as he had money to spend, he'd do a terrible job. He did much better when he didn't have money. But I think Jim probably will benefit from seeing the mistakes that George made when he was manager.
Agreed.
We hope so.
Let's not forget, this is only Jim's second season.
Yeah. Mm.
He's
doing a fabulous job, but can't what does Marcus Evans want? Does he want promotion this season? Will he wait till next season? He said there's more money available. Is that a bottomless pit of money? He wants to achieve an objective. Mm. How long will he wait?
Well, everything they said on Monday was that he's in it for the long haul. But the long haul obviously has to be in the Premiership rather than in the Championship. But I can't imagine that he would be happy with 2 or 3 years down in this division. He wouldn't be happy with 3 or 4 years, maybe 2 or 3, but once it moves on beyond that, then obviously he would look to change things, yeah.
Right, another email. Ian Rose, this one came in earlier. Ian Rose from Fenlandshire. We've yet to see what Midgerton can do with a bit of money to spend. Are you concerned that he might turn out to be doing a Burley? Well, you're trying to cover this. And spending big money on average players, or will his experience of seeing this first-hand from the dressing room as a player stand him well? Do you expect the price of potential targets to be increased when the selling club becomes aware of our interest and that everyone knows we have 12 million available? Will the current wage structure be broken to accommodate new players? Keeping a rigid structure has served us well in the past and prevented us being lumped with the likes of sick note Jeffers. So there you go. There's three questions for you in there.
I think Jeffers will be the first signing. I don't think Jim will go out and buy players from much above the level than he's been buying now. I mean, he could go out and buy four players who had a lot of Premiership experience, and it probably wouldn't work. I think he'd probably look to spend most of the money over a number of years on players who've done well with other clubs in this division. I think the name that was mentioned the other day was Wes Houlihan from Blackpool, and I think he's exactly the sort of player that Jim should be targeting and exactly the sort of player that he will target.
Yeah, I think the difference with the money brings is rather than us buying a player at the end of his career on a loan or getting a young kid that's showing promise, we're probably able to afford a quality player either on loan or obviously on a purchase without busting the salary side of it, because I think it's clear that Jim was present when it all went pear-shaped last time, and I would expect him to have learned from that, and the comments that he has said would suggest that he's not looking at breaking up the nucleus of the side.
Mm. I mean, you look at the team, there's obvious areas that pretty much everyone's in agreement. We need another centre-half. I think we need a centre-half to take over from Jason DeVos anyway.
Yeah.
Ultimately, because it's, 34, something like that. Fabian's coming to the end of his day, so we need centre-half. Left midfield is an area that we've not really solved. Gary Roberts had a poor season. Billy Clark's done well, but he's only a kid, and he's really a striker. Probably another central midfielder to sort of add a bit of bite away from home, and probably a different sort of striker, the Franny Jeffers type, that sort of fox in the box.
You want to say fox in the box, don't you?
I was trying to think what the fox was.
Foxo in the boxo.
Yeah, it's something else.
Is it lupus or something?
That's wolf. I mean, would you disagree that those are the...
I think the wages is probably going to be the real problem, more so than the cost price, because obviously our wages have been pared down, haven't they, on the basis we don't have the money to pay you. Good players, if they're still at the peak of their career, are going to want a good salary. So what does that do? Does that drive a coach and horses through what is obviously a very tightly controlled wage structure at the moment? That's the problem.
I personally think there'll be a couple of loan signings coming in rather than actual purchases, and he'll use the money in that way. With the view that we got promoted, we could then look at buying the players, because then all the wages would go up anyhow.
Mm.
Yeah, I can see the logic of the loan signings, but
good quality ones.
At the same time, if Jim is looking to build a side in the manner that George built a side, and you look at it, there's a lot of parallel between the two. The way that the side is coming together now and the way that the side came together 7 or 8 years ago, I would say that loan signings would probably add kind of instability, whereas permanent signings of players who are starting to prove themselves in the Championship at the moment or have proved themselves in the Championship, or the SPL in the case of Rob Jones, who I think is probably one of Jim's sort of most favoured targets. I think that sort of look is not looking at this season, but also looking at the season beyond. And I think fees is the point that's made on the email. there's not just us who's got a bit of money suddenly, there's quite a number of clubs in this division who've got a bit of money. So clubs selling players will be looking at getting far more money for them than perhaps they were in the summer.
True.
Or certainly last January.
Okay. Ray, who we all know, wants a striker, but we know this.
Yeah, he says this a lot.
But he does say this a lot. But as Phil said, he probably will look for a striker as well. He does say, I have reservations about the takeover. I'm not happy at all to sell our soul to a man waving Wonga at us. If we did get promotion, could we pay him off and get our club back? If we got promotion, could we pay him off and get our club back? I don't know if he means that immediately. I mean, in the end, are we able to?
A management buyout or a supporters buyout?
I think we all have this dream of local businessmen being able to own the club. I think, you know, with a smattering of individuals buying shares and some big local businessmen, it just hasn't happened. But who's to say that maybe in the future, they say there's never a bad time to take a profit. If Marcus Evans is making a profit from that deal, he will probably sell. And you know, it's just a question of somebody wanting to buy.
Well, yeah, but now's the time to buy the club, though, isn't it, really?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And rather than...
There isn't the desire. When we had the share issue, unfortunately, it wasn't the mass outpouring of people's piggy banks that we hoped for.
No.
You know, there isn't the money in this region, so although we would all love to stick to the Cobbold tradition and local ownership, it's just not going to happen, is it?
I also think the timing of the share issue was wrong, smack after Christmas when people are not in a good financial position.
But for whatever reason it failed.
Yeah.
But going forward, you know, the only way the club can really push on is to bring in someone with a significant amount of money, because not to do it in the face of other clubs doing the same thing would be folly, because we'd just get left behind.
Absolutely. And we have no choice.
And we'd have the debt round. I mean, whether there are any pitfalls with the way that the debt is being reorganised with Marcus Evans, it's certainly far better than it was in the situation we were in a week ago.
Don't get me wrong, it's a good arrangement for the club, but there are some risks attached, there are some elements that need clarification. But, you know, in general, it's good for the club. All I'm saying is people are underestimating certain things, and I also think it's a fantastic deal for the Marcus Evans group of companies.
Mm. It's a bit like your dad paying off your mortgage, really. It's bringing it in-house, but you still owe the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you mustn't fall out with your dad.
Very, very quickly, the old git has emailed about 20 messages, but this one has just said, Mr Evans is right not to want to rock the footballing boat. He's perfectly legitimately interested in exploring sponsorship, hospitality and other purely business aspects, which is probably quite true. So well said, Mr Git.
So did you be suggesting we'll have the name THG?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. We might be point that one next week. Quickly, we have less than a minute prediction for Saturday. Our first away win at Charlton. We'll start with Jane. What do you reckon?
I'll go 2-2.
2-2.
I'm not going, so we'll win.
Right, is that what happens?
Well, I've avoided all the home games and we've won all those.
you've got to kind of hope that we'll win an away game eventually, haven't you? It's just getting ridiculous. I haven't got a clue what to write in the column anymore for the paper.
Just put the same one in every week.
Seriously, I was tempted to do that, just cross out the names of the teams. The team that we're playing, the goal scorers for them. I'll go with 1-0 to us, how about that?
All right, I think we'll win 3-0, cheerful. There you go. Absolute rubbish. No chance, but you never know. Okay, thanks everyone. Thanks to Jane and Carl and, of course, Phil. And I've been Graham Blackburn. Thanks everyone for listening. Till next week. Have a good one. Bye bye.